This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Dana Cody, who's the attorney for the People's Advocate, which is bringing lawsuit against the ICOC, which was created by Prop 71. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Thank you.
The ICOC, I just heard on the radio, has granted some money for a program under its jurisdiction. And I thought you had sued them to say they couldn't do that, and I wanted to get your comments and an update from your point of view on what's going on here.
Well, I had somebody just ask me recently, how can they issue grants when they don't have any money, which is a really good question.
I posed it to them in an email that I just sent before
right.
I talked to you.
And so I'm assuming that if they have money, they haven't disclosed it to the public.
Right. Well, they got $5 million from Ray Dolby, but
right.
they said they were going to use that for lawyers, essentially.
Right. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I say I don't know because they aren't forthcoming with information. They are issuing these grants by number. So here we are, the California taxpayer, footing the bill for the ICOC, and we have no idea what's going on, which is exactly the point of our lawsuit. Accountable to anybody.
Do you have any idea, or are you in the process of doing anything to find out who exactly got these grants?
Well, we haven't yet, but we are in the process of discovery, and so what some of the things that we've asked relate to, you know, how grants will be issued, what the processes will be. You know, what are the conflicts of interest? What holdings do ICOC members have? I don't know if they'll respond to our. I mean, I'm sure they'll respond to our discovery, and I would venture to guess that the response will be, we're not going to answer your questions, so file a motion to compel.
Okay.
But you know, time will tell on that one.
The press release that was issued on September 6th, announcing that they were going to be voting on these grants today, says ICOC members will not vote on any application for which they have a conflict of interest.
Right.
I've asked them in this email which ICO members did not vote on which applications and what were their conflicts of interest, but I don't know if, I certainly don't have subpoena power and can't file
right.
a motion to compel here.
Right.
What's the significance of their not, if they haven't, released the information about the conflicts of interest? Is that another black box here?
Yeah, I mean, the significance is, how do we know that they do or do not have a conflict of interest, and how do we know how that conflict of interest is affecting their vote when they're issuing grants?
Right. Now, what exactly, in terms of the issuing of grants, does the lawsuit that you've brought on behalf of People's Advocate ask the court to do?
Well, it asked the court to enjoin them from issuing any grants or from state officers who have control of funding giving them any funding.
Okay, so here they've issued grants.
Right.
The court hasn't ruled in your favor yet.
No.
So does that mean that they're legally entitled to give these grants up until the time the court, if it does, decides that they to enjoin them from doing so?
Okay.
Are they within their legal rights to give these grants out now, do you think?
Until the court rules, yes. I mean, we've made the argument that the spending of any state money by the ICOC violates the California Constitution because they're not an entity under the exclusive management control of the state. But until, you know, a court puts a stop to it, supposedly they can spend that money.
No court has issued such an order.
Yeah. No.
And in fact, the conundrum that existed hitherto for was that because of the market conditions, they couldn't
right.
issue the bonds
right.
to pay for the grants
right.
and because of the lawsuit that was hanging over the whole process.
Right.
It seems now that they've tried to find a way out of that conundrum by issuing the grants, presumably without having any money to pay for them.
Right. So, you know, your guess is as good as mine. They don't disclose information to the public. They make much ado about the fact that we're, you know, putting a crimp in whatever it is that they want to do, yet they move forward. So they complain about the lawsuit stopping them from their so-called important work, but doesn't seem to be stopping them.
Okay, let's talk about the consolidation of the two suits, and we talked about that before, but I wanted
right.
to get an update on, in particular, the case management conference that was scheduled when the court in Alameda made its judgment earlier. Where does that stand now?
Well, there will be a case management conference on September 15th, and basically the purpose of the conference is to bring to the court's attention any issues. Will there be motions before trial? Where are the parties at with their discovery, so that the court can sort of know where to head with the court calendar? And of course, the case having been consolidated with the bond invalidation action that was in Sacramento, the attorney for that action has filed a writ asking the Court of Appeal to overturn the decision, but until there is a decision, the case will move forward in Alameda County.
The decision to consolidate the case in Alameda County,
right.
Mr. Llewellyn has filed a motion to move the consolidated case to Sacramento.
Right. He filed a petition for writ of mandate.
For a change of venue.
Right. He's requesting a stay of any court proceedings and then wanting it to be moved to Sacramento.
And he filed that with the appellate court.
Yes.
Did you have any view on moving the consolidated case to Sacramento? Is that something you like, don't like, or neutral about?
We're just neutral. The reason that we initially filed in Alameda County was because that's where the ICOC was located.
Right.
I assume they're making plans to move to San Francisco.
Do you know if that's going to complicate things even further if the defendant in the case moves out of the jurisdiction?
So it could. Yeah, it possibly could. But if Mr. Llewellyn is right in his contention, a bond invalidation action has to be heard in Sacramento.
Right.
So
and presumably the case was consolidated as a bond validation action, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes.
Even though your part of it wasn't.
Well, basically, the court said that even though ours was a taxpayer action,
right.
that because of what's happened with the case in Sacramento, ours is now a bond invalidation action, which it isn't. But the court, the judge made that decision, and there's nothing I can do about it.
They're sort of painting the roses red here, aren't they?
It just morphed itself into a bond invalidation action. And
And Mr. Llewellyn argues that bond validation actions, according to the law, need to take place in Sacramento.
Correct. And he cites, I think it's Government Code Section 17700 or somewhere around there, some Government Code section.
So in fact, if what the Alameda court did, namely consolidate your taxpayer case into his bond invalidation case, mm-hmm. and call it one bond invalidation case, the law says bond invalidation cases need to be argued in Sacramento. And that's what he's arguing should be done.
Correct.
But notwithstanding all that, you're still going to be at the case management conference on September 15th.
Right.
In Alameda County.
Exactly. We'll still be there and we'll move forward until we hear from the Court of Appeal.
Okay. That's not too far from now. That's next Thursday. So maybe we can talk Thursday or Friday of next week and see see where this saga is going next.
Right. Maybe we'll hear from the Court of Appeal prior to that.
Right, maybe we will, and maybe we'll hear from the ICOC about what the conflicts of interest were that they haven't disclosed yet.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Okay, I won't. All right, well, thanks very much for talking to us, and have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you. You too,
okay,
Mark.
Bye.
Bye-bye.